Thank you. I take that applause for some of these processes. You were saved from a fate worse than death this morning. There was one of these regimens was just off beat enough that it was unworkable. Well, we've got one now. The substitute for it works like mad. This is what? This is 2nd of September, 1st St. Hill ACC. You probably have decided now that you can't make it. Won't be possible to do so. I'm supplying the apathy you don't feel. Now, if you can make it in a unit of this type, non-altitude auditing, the heart not being particularly bared, you know, in the rudiments, because the room's too noisy anyway, and the auditor probably wouldn't hear it. You get some very, well, there are liabilities on the running of a case under these circumstances, of course. We should be able to, you know, I look across you people, you know, that some of you people are re-stimulated. Should be very easy to do this in an HGC. There's nothing much to this. HGC results now for several months have been very, very excellent. As you watch the profiles coming through, those excellent results were simply being obtained on pre-session one, which was no more, no less than help usually run on a two-way basis or a calm basis, control, discussion of, communication, a little discussion of overts, and then an assessment in model session on a terminal, with help being run directly on that terminal. This plowed through for about 3 weeks has shown a very, very few cases not responding. As a matter of fact, I think the number of non-responses are something on the order of 4 or 5 for the whole world for several months. That's pretty good. Now, what they were doing, it was going from bottom of graph. The very difficult bottom of graph cases were coming on up at the end of the first 25-hour intensive, coming about to the middle ground of the graph, or not quite. The next one going just above the middle ground of the graph, the second 25-hour intensive, third 25-hour intensive, finding the case very high. This was happening all over the world. This is in HGCs, of course, and HGC auditing is very stiffly 8-seed type of auditing on the part of the DFP, or should be, and when it isn't, his results go immediately off. Now, where this particular regimen and that pre-session one was being used, we were getting wins. These wins were very good. This was, in effect, clearing. Now, it was help on terminals in the first ACC where a lot of clearing occurred, which was in Washington there. 57-58, the help button did run E-meters down to a clear reading and so on. I think there was something on the order of, I've forgotten what the statistic is exactly, but some 15 out of 60 or something like that. It was somewhere in that vicinity, where about a quarter of the people on that ACC made MEST clear. Subsequently, on some of the others checked out too, but this was the first checkout. Now some of those people were stable, some were only relatively so, and went on and off and back and forth and around and about, and on subsequent processing were not particularly run on help. Their cases stabilized out to some degree, but they had a long distance to go, they realized. They were just missed clear. Now, What gets in our road, now you understand that this is help on a terminal. The help on a terminal is what did this. You must remember that, because I found out that there must be something else involved here that didn't give us the results on the remaining 75%, you're saying. Or something was wrong that didn't reach up into all the cases and straighten them all up, too. So for a couple of years, I put in a great deal of study on this and managed to get all of the phenomena sorted out in connection with overt motivator sequences and whether you ran the PC at cause or not, developed the technologies of OT and so forth, which again didn't get a lot of people off the launching pad. It didn't undercut everything, but it gave us the definition which would go on up the line with it. So we ran the PC at cause like you got in OW, overt withhold, and this then, combined with help used in HGCs, has gone ahead and done a good job of it. So it's help on a terminal. Now, apparently, two-way help on a terminal, which is to say not running the PC totally at cause, was introducing a variable into the rationale, because it was evidently as good as help OW. Overt withhold on help, which is to say help not help, or you help him, he helps you, were giving apparently equivalent results. One night while we're going over these HCC results just before this class started to try to determine this once and for all, suddenly fell out of the hamper that help, apparently, can violate, it's possibly the very rare case, that can violate this cause angle, because any help finds the PC at cause. So it doesn't much matter whether you run it in two-way flows or brackets or OW, you still find, if you've got help in the command, you still find that the PC at least has to consider that it is or is not help, and you still find the PC at cause. By far and large, help OW produces the most consistent result, but help is sufficiently good that it can be run without too much attention to the rules and still work. This is pretty good. I don't know whether you consider that data of any importance or not, but it may not have any importance particularly. But you can fairly well count on a gain any way that help is run on a terminal. Well, we did it in a couple of years ago, and we're doing it in HGCs now. And now we've shifted off onto a whole track clear. Now we're doing something else here. We've made the grade pretty well, but a whole track clear. Book one definition would apply to all facsimiles on the whole track. You see? I just wanted to call it to your attention that you're going further than anybody ever thought of going before. You see? Now, I dare say here and there right now in this unit, we could probably get to we could probably get some 1, 2, 3 candidates on the Ole Miss clear test that would answer up. I possibly would. I don't know. We have no intentions of checking it out. But this isn't what we're striking for. We're striking for a whole track clear. So you can just stop hiding that time when you were one of those. Because we want to see that cleared up, too. Now, help on motion is apparently help on a no terminal. Quite interesting. It's not directed immediately at a terminal. So you would say perhaps that it classified as a significance. It doesn't classify as a significance, however, because actually it frees up terminals. It gives the PC more terminals than he's had before. So it's not really a significance you're running it at. But the peculiarity of help is that it's sufficiently good that It can be run at a significance. Don't try it, but on a PC you're really trying to do something for, but I'm just giving you a statement. You could probably run help on an axiom and get away with it. That's right. You certainly could on somebody who has exceeded mess clear, because these people don't have that much trouble with having this. But on a case which is having a great deal of trouble with the sixth dynamic, about all you can do is to bring about havingness on the sixth. The way you unravel a case is to bring about this one fact. Now, you understand that help is terribly important, and we may someday get some kind of an objective combination of help or something of the sort that introduces this into the lower scale factors. But right now, as far as we're concerned, and even if we used help, this would still be true, all we are trying to do with somebody who's having an awful lot of trouble is to get him to be able to have. And that's it. That is the horrible simplicity of it. The resolution of the sixth dynamic, which we are taking off the seventh dynamic in our theory and rationale, is simply that if the PC cannot have it, he will not is it. Therefore, you get a disappearance of anything and everything that is wrong with him. He gets such things as an invisible field. I don't have any facsimiles. I don't know what Ron's talking about. I never see any pictures. Well, what is that but some kind of a very heavy knot is? Now, that is cured. And this, again, is as important as, or even for the bulk of people, more important than that help on a terminal cleared and so forth people. Because this is how you get a case off the launching pad. And that is to bring about a condition in the case where he can have things on the sixth dynamic. Now, there are several factors which monitor this. And first amongst them is the subjective havingness. Think of something you could have. Think of something you could have. This kind of a process, you think. It's no good. Should be all right, but it's no good. It doesn't work. This was tested about the time, long time ago, about the time the HGC was set up in Washington when it was over on 15th Street. We ran several weeks of tests on PCs, one kind or another, and they were all subjective havingness on the standpoint of what in your bank could you have, whatever the command was, don't you think? And this sounds like it'd be the answer. And it isn't. Believe me, it leaves those profiles lying quietly just where they were. If any advance took place, it was totally occasioned by simply the regimen of auditing, and the PC was getting some attention. And it would be so microscopic that a psychologist would have been insanely proud of it. And if any retardation occurred on it, it could easily and quickly be traced to an ARC break during the processing. And that was all that changed it. So the subjective havingness, this you understand is not the old mock-up or the remedy of havingness or repair of havingness or any of those old ones. They've not been lined up against profiles. To tell you bluntly, I don't run on the vast research monies that they have down at Cape Canaveral to find out how you take a mechanic apart before you pour the fuel in or something of the sort. I imagine they have research projects down there on how to shine brass and in view of the fact that they don't have any and so forth. But we just don't have the vast and ample sums necessary to turn auditors loose. You know, just hire half a dozen people, auditors, have them recruit PCs, run administrative office, and simply run dud processes and flub processes. But someday, I assure you, we've got to set up such a unit and just take the whole file of everything in the book from beginning to end and sort it all out again. These projects are rather mad, by the way, sometimes. I started one in Washington. We had a little extra cash and put a couple of boys on the test files, just sorting good profiles out of the test files and finding out what was run on them. You see, just a coordinator, just a filing project, nothing more nor less. We do this, one character of another filing projects very often. And the highest gain profile they found in a whole mass of files, something like a great big file drawer, the highest one in that, not the highest one that's ever been done, 35 processes were run in 125-hour intensive. Every one of them was a figure-figure process. Every one of them. There wasn't a sensible process in the lot, you see, that made any sense to anybody at that time. And what had happened is we'd hired a field auditor on the HGC and just turned him loose on the old rationale of what have you gotten results with? And this is usually the way an HGC auditor is broken in. It's an exact regimen. What do you have confidence in other words? What have you gotten results with? And while he is learning other technology, don't you see? We don't gum him up. We try not to anyway, although it happens occasionally. We don't gum him up with teaching him and making him use the new all at the same time and abandon the old that he did get results with. So this was one of those cases. And he come in, and what had he gotten results with? Well, he'd evidently gotten results by asking almost random questions on the PC, and all based on some kind of a rationale of what he thought the PC's case was all about. You see? Oh, that was a wild-looking profile. We sorted out these. They were all processes that had existed at one time or another, but run consecutively or together or something like this, nobody'd ever seen the like of it. Now, in that potpourri, he must have unlocked this rather low-scale PC's havingness. He must have done this, you see. So that's well worth studying. That profile would be well worth studying. We've got it there still to study and so forth. But that must have been what happened. He must have asked the exact question necessary to resolve the case, you know. And it must have blown some sort of a circuit, a can't-have circuit of some kind or other. Either, otherwise, the case would never have made this kind of an advance. Very interesting. But remember, this was one case. This was one auditor. This was one random address to the situation. Now, I dare say anybody could get a result if he worked hard enough on the PC without very advanced materials or anything else, if he's willing to sweat out, why he could get that. Making the processes add up to the various difficulties the PC was having right that moment. Got the idea? Just fit anything he knew of Scientology into the resolution of just one case. Now, how long that would take is its first barrier, because, boy, that's long. And the other one is he would very far from get all the cases. His percentile of win would be too low. But he could do some spectacular things. Now, if we went along some old healing regimen, why, we would advertise all the spectacular things. Do you notice that we seldom put out, we have cured this and cured that and cured something else? It's only when we could do something consistently that I mention it. Yet we have tons of these things. People are always writing us in wild ones, and we hear about wild ones and so forth, which would probably make very exciting reading, and probably you would like to have them and so forth. But the difficulty is trying to assemble them short-staffed and weed them out and coordinate them and verify them and put them all out on such a line as this. It's a rough lot of work if we don't do it. For instance, young man has a withered arm. Well, I asked one time, there were four or five staff members standing around, and somebody had offered $1,000 for a miracle. So these staff members, they weren't HGC people, some of them were administrative and so forth, and I just pick this up, $1,000 for anybody that could prove that miracles, it did or didn't exist, something of that sort. And I just asked these fellows at random, have you boys done any miracles around town here? Is there any miracles handy? And so forth. And one of them that hadn't been on auditing or technical or anything else says, yes, I got one over here a few blocks away. There was a little five-year-old boy, and he had a withered arm, and I processed, and his arm grew out normally, and we have the medical certificates about it. This he's hiding. Well, nobody'd ever ask him for it. He just thought it was interesting. We have x-rays evidently sitting all over the world of before, no head, after, head. But as nice as this might sound as a book, its value would be questionable. Because these were isolated results out of tremendous numbers of cases, don't you see? What we're after is to be able to make our postulate stick. We want to take a hold of a case, and there's something wrong with this case, or right with it, and we want to straighten up this, and that's what we do, and that's what happens. Bang, bang. Now, that's the research line. We can always find the random cases. Very many schools of healing look awfully good because they have gotten a lot of results. Well, 22.5% of their people will get well simply when they walk in the door of the office and the doctor or whatever he is says to them, well, well, isn't that very interesting? Take 3 of these tablets every 2 hours. And the fellow does. He gets well. He says life is wonderful. And the practice of something or other, that's great practice. But that's 22.5%. How about the 77.5% that don't? That's what makes a science. That 77.5%. Now that we could clear something like 15 out of 60 looks suspiciously, don't you see? Like that 22.5%. And I've been banging away at the remaining 75, see? They, to me, were more important on a final resolution than the 25% because of one fact. We knew we would get the 25% faster if we could get the 75%. We'd immediately have data that would give us the 25% very easily and simply. Now, we'd gone on that track, and 2 years later, we've got the failure line trimmed down to about 10%. It's gone from about 75% to 10. All right, now this 10%, studied carefully, demonstrates this terribly interesting fact, is they are people who were never gotten into a state of being able to have anything. Now that's the apparent common denominator. They're so wound up in the bank, so stuck in time on rest points, so incapable of creating an impression on their ridges or banks, according to their consideration, that almost nothing you do for them, apparently, has any real effect on an E-meter, and an E-meter doesn't shift. But look, it's come down, well, it went clearing because we're not going to consider what I can do with a case because my processing of a case very definitely compares to that field auditor's that came in and processed this fellow with 35 processes, you see, and took him out the other end. It's all fitted up. My percentages are good, but they're all individually tailored. You know, it's all tailor-made. It's a brand new science. That's right. That's right. I used to have to do this in the old foundations. With everything else I was doing, I would see some case lagging in the clinic, and I would simply say, well, send him in here, and they'd bring him in the office, and I'd look him over and see what he was stuck in and say, whir, clank, shift the bank one way or the other, give him back to the auditor, and away they'd wheel, and the auditor would come in afterwards and say, what did you do? Well, I did what was necessary to resolve that particular case. Well, they didn't have anything to do with any of the other cases. They were all highly specialized, don't you see? Obviously, it didn't have a common denominator. I was running, flying by the seat of my pants. You see how that would be? Well, so perceptivity was having to make up totally for lack of technology, if you wanted that. I was just running on pure obnosis, as we eventually began to call it. And you can see the fellow was stuck there trying to run away from a savage dog or something of the sort. And therefore, he'd go up and down the time track to get away from the savage dog. And every time he'd pass the savage dog, why, the circuit would bark or something stupid like this would be going on. And you'd make him make the dog bark or something like that, you know. And you'd eventually get rid of this dog and he'd stop running up and down the time track and he could run facsimiles and they'd process him. That was the way it went. Well, that's all very exciting, but 2 years ago, 25%. Stable or unstable, mess clears, leaving 75%. Right now, we probably skinned this thing down to under 10% in HGCs and here. Well, what cooks with this remaining 10%? This remaining 10% is the no-have. That's the common denominator. They cannot have the sixth dynamic. Well, gee, that brings us in awful close to it. You've got the six and so forth. Now, they might be prevented from having the six by a bug on beingness on the seventh. So you've just got two zones of approach there. Well, is this really narrowing the sights down? Let's look at that. There's just two dynamics. You're going to hit sixth. If they don't crack on sixth, you're going to hit the seventh. Havingness is your target. If you can get this person to have, if you can stop his obsessive no-have on everybody, if you can separate out the circuits which tell him that havingness is impossible and all messed is horrible, you can just crack that, then you can change the character of his bank. And if you can change the character of his bank, he then gets into a state where he can perceive that he can handle it to some degree, and you can increase that ability right on up to the top. And the only thing, of course, that you're doing for a PC is to demonstrate to him that he can handle his bank. Now, there's certain things in the bank he's shying away from, and there's trick ways to handle these things. And as you audit him, he, of course, handles these things. It's a, you might say, reassurance. It's a regaining of confidence. Now, you could possibly, it's very interesting, I set up one just not too long ago, asked somebody what they could trust me to do. They're being very suspicious of me. I set them up on this basis. It's go off someplace and sit down and figure out some things you could actually trust about me. Well, just that little piece of confidence, don't you think? Just that little regaining of confidence there, to some degree, altered for the moment the attitude of this person toward me. See, slight, but it did do it something. So that confidence, regaining of ability, surety, and so forth is still your common denominator. The feeling that they can do something without immediately, catastrophically failing. Well, that's the state of mind you're remedying in a PC. If I do anything, it'll just flop anyway. I know. You get the idea. The fellow said, if I was appointed the judge, the sole and single judge of the Atlantic City Bathing Beauty Contest, I know what would happen. I know what would happen. I would break my leg the night before. Now, what tells him this? Well, he's got a long record of failure. That failure is his bank, but his first and foremost failure is simply messed. Failure to handle beingness, failure to handle. And failures to handle and assist or do anything with messed, failures to handle, assist, do anything with beingnesses or other life forms, finally stack up to a point where he has a bank, and this bank is a record of failure, as far as he can see. But, of course, it isn't a total record of failure. And you have to get him back to a point where he can confront those failures, take it apart, and get the show on the road again. And the first and foremost failure, and the commonest failure, that can be attacked on a case that's having difficulty, is havingness, failure to possess, sixth dynamic missed. Now, if you can unlock havingness in any way that it can be unlocked, you'll get some of these 10%. And if you can unlock beingness, those that are pushed off into the seventh, why, you've got that one started, and you should have the remainder, except those that are totally unconscious, and you've still got the CCHs. It's quite important. Right now, we're at a point where, without any regard to the upper scale advances of cases, we are at a place where the lower echelons and so forth can be moved rather definitely. Just this one little process. Point out where you're not being confronted. It's not its wording, but that idea. Well, the individual, of course, is unwilling to let anybody else have anything. And he's allergic to beingness, and it unlocks a sixth and seventh at the same time. And, of course, right here in this unit, some cases ran this thing and went, wow! And they hadn't been moving on the meter much before that. Well, that's a dead center. See? The overt is not giving the other fellow something to confront. So it runs an overt. It takes off obsessive non-confronts. And at the same time, of course, it takes off repressed havingness for the other fellow. And one represses havingness for the other fellow. He, of course, represses havingness for himself. So this combination sits, oddly enough, exactly in the center of our theory. And what do you know? It ripped up and threw away most of the cases that were dragging their heels. There must be something to the theory on which we're operating at this present moment. I would say to that degree that it's probably well worth some study and observation. Now, what about somebody that it didn't straighten up? Well, this person must be preventing without being able to prevent anything. They must have some kind of an effect going here, a no effect going, to such a degree that it must be so stuck that the havingness factor cannot alter. So we now have regimen 6, which knocks at that. What's the matter? Well, when I get them off the launching pad, man, they fly. And them sticky rockets, I don't like them. Now, that is aimed squarely and directly at getting a fellow off of his obsessive prevent by giving him some wins on it, oddly enough. Letting him win. Such a rationale is based on the old process. The original, Phoenix 54, is what around here is having an effect on something, or find something that's having an effect on something around here. That's the original pattern of the process. All right, now that gets shifted over to giving a person a win. What effect could you prevent? Look around here and find an effect you could prevent. Or what effect could you prevent? Some such spotting process in the immediate environment, no matter how it's like. And what do you do then? You're going to give them some wins on preventing something and stack it up. And once more, you have a good opportunity of pushing past the no-have block. Every case that's locked up is locked up on a no-have. That's the common denominator of all those cases that we haven't been able to launch swiftly. And we are shortly going to run out of percents. I think you will admit we're doing pretty good, though. We went 0% by others clearing to 25% by others clearing, And now we're moving it right on down because basically the people we couldn't clear, those were the people we didn't get off the launching pad either. They were the little progress case that went on for years. Well, nobody'd unlocked their havingness. So this is what we're trying to do, and that's how we're getting cases going. And our theory is apparently very good, apparently working out very well. And I want to compliment you on both the auditing you're doing and on the results you are achieving with the material. Thank you.